Morning, Kev.
Hey, please record. My name is George O'Brien. I represent AT&T Connecticut. The petitioner in this case is seeking to have the court decline to enforce an order of the National Labor Relations Board. The issue before you is whether the court will enforce an order that required AT&T Connecticut to allow its service technicians to go to the homes of customers wearing a T-shirt that said on the front of it one word, inmate. The time when this was happening was one when the company was losing customers in the landline area. The company determined that the threat to its customer relationships that these shirts posed was considerable, and it took took one limited step.
It made the limitation only as to customer-facing employees, right?
You got exactly what I meant, Your Honor.
And I believe the company has conceded those of the other issues in the case.
We did not take exception to anything other than the prisoner or inmate shirts, Your Honor.
Okay. You know, I don't know about my colleagues. I have your argument, unless my colleagues have questions.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I mean, under our case law, the employer has to show special circumstances here, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Yeah, and you don't challenge the ALJ finding, do you, you don't challenge the ALJ's finding that the company didn't enforce its appearance code at all, correct? And that, in fact, it allowed quite vulgar T-shirts in other circumstances.
The T-shirts that the ALJ referred to were on an entire different order of magnitude, Your Honor. So we challenge that the indication that somebody wore a T-shirt that he bought in Martha's Vineyard that talked about supporting your local hooker, and it had a picture of a fish hook. We challenged that that was in any way comparable to sending somebody out to somebody's front door with a shirt that said inmate on it, since inmate means convicted criminal. The difference in order of magnitude of the shirts in question is significant. The other point, Your Honor, is that the testimony below about those so-called humorous shirts was from individuals who the record shows were in construction. They were public-facing because they were in jobs where they might be in a ditch or up a pole, but the enforcement that you would expect from the supervisors of service technicians who actually went to the homes of individuals was never put before the administrative law judge. The NLRB and the union did not offer testimony from any employee who served in the so-called installation repair technician job. Those were construction people. There's an interesting aspect of it, which there was testimony from one of the people who said that he wore the inmate shirt, that he actually took it off because his job was such that he didn't want to get it dirty, and he knew it was a dirty job. I think the notion that the testimony of the people who were in dirty jobs and that their supervisors knew that they were wearing shirts that had these off-color remarks or pictures of tourist attractions with something about beer in them is entirely different from the notion of putting this idea of a convicted person in somebody's face. And the only shirt that was in any way comparable in the way of offensiveness mm-hmm. was one that was referred to by the company. It was, for want of a better way to say it, one that said F milk. And that shirt was immediately spotted by a supervisor, and the technician who wore it was told to take it off. He turned it inside out, and that's the reason he wasn't disciplined. The testimony from the two company witnesses was that the enforcement of the appearance rules took place by calling to the attention of the employees when they were out of line, and that they self-corrected. They did what they were told, and that's why there was no record of discipline based on this appearance policy.
And what do you do with the board, the ALJ, and the board's finding that that no one could reasonably confuse this shirt with prison garb? They pointed out that, you know, it's a plain white T-shirt. They call ahead of time to confirm. There's an AT&T truck out front. They wear an ID badge, hard hat. So the board, you have a factual finding that it's just unreasonable to confuse this with these people with being convicted criminals.
Your Honor, I think there's two issues embedded in your question. Mm-hmm. One is whether these T-shirts could be confused with actual prison garb. And that is a straw man argument that did not arise out of the record in this case. The company never claimed that the shirts could be confused with actual prison garb. There was no evidence by anybody about what prison garb looked like. The question there was whether the relationship between the company and its customers could be harmed, was likely to be harmed, whether there was a risk of genuine harm as a result of wearing these shirts. And I would submit to you.
What's the harm if there's no reasonable basis for confusing?
Two things, Your Honor. Even the NLRB decision acknowledges that when somebody shows up on a front porch wearing a shirt that says inmate, the person seeing that may well be put in fear and apprehension. And what the NLRB says is then they may notice that there's a truck out front, that there's a lanyard or a badge, and there's also testimony, by the way, that a lot of the technicians don't wear those things. But the fact that somebody is put in fear and apprehension and then learns that the individual was actually the technician rather than an imposter doesn't help the company's image and doesn't help the company's image in terms of the relationship with that customer. The dissent, Member Hayes, put it this way. What would you think of a company that allowed somebody to come for a service call wearing this shirt?
Right. So it's not necessary to the company's position that there be any actual confusion about these T-shirt wearers being inmates.
Absolutely right. Not, Your Honor. Nothing about
more that a reasonable company doesn't send out people to make calls on people's houses wearing shirts that say inmate, and you don't have to put up with that kind of thing, right?
That you say it very well, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Did you have another question, Judge Tatel?
This is Judge Tatel.
I am.
Thank you, Judge Santelli.
Thank you.
I have no further questions.
I appreciate your tolerance for somebody from Connecticut.
Don't worry about it. No problem.
The dissent by Member Hayes, I think, shows that the company took quite seriously the risk that the shirts had to its relationship with its customers. And I would point you to what is the key case from the board itself, which we contend the board didn't follow in reaching this decision, and that's the Pathmark case. The Pathmark case said that special circumstances are established when the reasonably likely effect of the insignia is a risk of genuine risk of harm to the relationship with the customer. The distinctions between that case and ours don't exist in a logical way. The point here is, why would we be here before you? Why would we have fought this at the board level to this point unless the company truly believed that these shirts posed a risk? There would be no reason.
We can't follow that reasoning, counsel. You realize that your argument just proved that everybody that comes up here on a petition should win?
No.
Your argument was that you fought this all the way up here, therefore you must be right?
No, I'm trying to rebut the notion that we had some lack of reason for doing this. Okay. And the record shows that it was the customer relationship that amounted to that reason. I believe I'm approaching the time I reserve for rebuttal.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you. We'll hear from the respondent.
May it please the court, my name is Zachary Hennigy, and I'm here on behalf of the National Labor Relations Board. First, I'd like...
You would agree also that the petitioner has conceded and accepted compliance with all the other allegations against it except this one, right?
That's right, Your Honor.
Does the board ever confess error?
Error on those?
Does the board ever confess error? And I think the fact that you don't know what that phrase means indicates that it doesn't.
In this case...
You know, those parts of government that are not self-litigating agencies, sometimes the DOJ will tell them, look, you don't have a case here. Let's confess error, and they do. Does the board ever confess error?
Not that I'm aware of, not in this case, Your Honor.
Okay, I've only been here 25 years, but I can't remember one. Excuse me, go ahead.
Not only does the company concede that the other shirts, the SCAB T-shirt and the Havoc T-shirts, should not have been banned. The company
also, they conceded they were wrong when they were wrong, right?
Correct, Your Honor. They also conceded...
The board has never confessed error, though, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
Additionally, Your Honor, the company concedes that the activity of wearing the prisoner T-shirt in this case is protected activity. This was part of a campaign to promote the collective bargaining.
But these were customer-facing employees. They were sent to customers' homes. Would it really make you think a lot better of a company if they sent somebody out to your house wearing an inmate T-shirt, Johnson?
Your Honor, I don't want to speculate as to what a customer would think in this case.
Well, somebody had to decide that.
Absolutely.
And you would agree that companies can require uniforms of people who call on houses, right?
Yes, they can, Your Honor.
So they can control 100% of Absolutely. The garments, but the case
yes.
here says it's an unfair labor practice to control a small percent of the garments, right?
Yes, Your Honor. It
right.
does.
Okay. Thank you.
It does.
That,
and the reason it
that's
does.
That's what I thought.
The reason it does is part of the special circumstances test that the company relies on, the public image, as a front-end part of the analysis, requires that they have an established appearance standard in the workplace that demonstrates what they're trying to portray to the public.
Right. And that's
case,
what they did here. They said, we don't send people out with inmate T-shirts on. They didn't fire anybody for wearing the first one. They just told them don't do that, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
They did allow other shirts, though.
They allowed other shirts.
They did.
Therefore, they have to allow this shirt. Is that your reasoning?
It shows that they don't have a well-established appearance standard, Your Honor. They have shirts
with
profanity.
No, it just helps us discern what their standard was.
Lacking.
They did not want to send something out that made their company look as inconsiderate as this one would have, right?
Well, the board, I think, looked at what that standard was, and those other shirts demonstrated that they were okay with some inconsiderate shirts out there in front of the public. A shirt that has profanity such as life is crap if you're out of beer, a shirt that tells the customer that your IQ came back.
Why can't a company draw a line that this is just too much? It's pretty much common sense that this shirt is going to alienate some customers, or at least detract from the image of the company. It's just obvious on the face of the whole thing, isn't it?
I don't think so, Your Honor. And in this case,
if you were running a company, you would not send your employees out with a shirt that said inmate to make house calls. It's just crazy.
I wouldn't have thought the company would allow the employees to go out with a shirt that said...
That's not an answer to that. That's not an answer to that proposition.
Yeah. Are they stopped, therefore? Now anything goes? So if, you know...
You let one bad T-shirt out, you're going to let all the bad T-shirts out?
AT&T, the next shirt, and you're going to say, oh, gee, well, they allowed this one, inmate, so they got to allow that one.
Well, in this case, Your Honor, and I'm not saying there's not a line.
That just doesn't make any sense at all.
In this case, Your Honor, and I'm not saying there's not a line, there certainly is a line. There are situations where there isn't a
appearance standard. Well, if they can draw a line, why can't they draw it here?
Because in this case, this T-shirt is an aspect of the workers' Section 7 rights trying to promote collective action.
That's a circle.
And just because a company doesn't...
You reasoned that it was part of his Section 7 rights, therefore they violated Section 7.
Well, we're
asking you, how did this get to be part of a Section 7 right to...
Company concedes that the shirt is protected activity. The presumption, therefore, is that any ban on a shirt that's protected is used as part of concerted protected activity is unreasonable. They have a substantial burden to overcome.
Show the special circumstances. What about cases like Pathmark and Noah's Bagel, which...
In both of those cases...
Those shirts, are those messages not nearly as bad as this from the perspective of customer image to the customers, right?
Well, in both of those...
Don't cheat about the meat is better than inmate prisoner of AT&T.
Well, both of those cases, don't cheat about the meat and the comment about the kosher policy, both directly attack the company's product. And that the board has said that is...
Prisoner of AT&T doesn't?
Prisoner of AT&T is prisoner of AT dollar sign T is a comment on how the employees in the union felt the company was treating the workers during that contract fight. And in this case, I think it's important to point out that both manager Nasnik and manager Saavedra, who the second manager was outside of the country when the decision was made. The decision was made, and I think this has been
lost over. Why is it important to point out that they're outside the country?
He wasn't involved in the decision to ban the shirts, Your Honor.
Somebody had to make the decision,
absolutely,
right?
Your Honor.
Right. So somebody had to make it, and the other guy was out of the country. I don't think that's terribly important, counsel.
Well, I want to look at the evidence. In this case, the record shows that the fear was that ex-convicts were showing up on the door. The fear was that they were going to have somebody, that customers might think that there was somebody from a work release program working for the company, and that somehow was a problem. And the board addressed those
some
concerns.
Some people probably did think that. Mm-hmm.
And the board addressed
some
those concerns.
Customers probably
directly.
Did think that. When people show up at your door, you're always wondering who they are.
What did the board say about that?
The board directly addressed that, and that went to your comment earlier, Your Honor, that the T-shirt, the plain white T-shirt with nothing else on it except for these smaller letters saying inmate number in the upper left-hand chest of the shirt, couldn't reasonably be viewed by anybody as actual prisoners.
How does the board know that? How do they know? They don't have any basis. What are they, expert in human behavior, in seeing an inmate shirt show up on your doorstep? They're not expert in that.
They looked at the shirt, and on the face, they didn't feel that it looked like prison garb, Your Honor. And
didn't look like prison, okay.
And the other factors that were in the atmospherics in this case that were going on here is that the employee would have a lanyard with the ID, or somewhere on there they would have an ID. They would typically have their hard hat. There would be a van parked nearby with the company logo. There were two calls. The customer initiated the call to the company asking for them to come out. The technician, before they would arrive, would call the customer and say, I'm on my way, or I'll be there at such and such a time. With that in mind, the possibility for confusion that it was not some AT&T employee and that it was somebody that just escaped from the facility.
But just on that, put that aside, still the image of the company is part of the analysis, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. And
it's very hard to see why the board is insisting on this one. I know you probably drew the short straw to get this case, but I'm not sure why. The board has won on all of the other issues. They're going to get enforcement. They're not even going to have to ask for enforcement. They're going to get it. And they come up here on this, send you up here to try to defend this?
Your Honor, the facts in this case where the employees are allowed to wear in front of the customers other shirts that are profane.
That
one of them
back
has
to what Judge Kavanaugh just said, though.
You can't
draw a line. You got to say, well, we allowed this shirt. Now we have to allow all the shirts.
It just says that they don't have an appearance standard. It's not a well-established appearance standard. Look at the cases that they cite. Look at Harrah's where people
Thank
come
you,
in.
Thank you, counsel. I think we have your argument. Do my colleagues have any further questions?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Gopas?
May it please the court. The law, as this court stated in the Register Guard case, is that in circumstances like this, the company has to show special circumstances if it wants to ban the wearing of a particular union T-shirt. We cited it in our brief and principally relied on it. The company has...
T-shirt, though, you speak of a union T-shirt, there really wasn't a lot about the union on this T-shirt, was there?
No, but everybody understood that it was a protest message.
Everybody understood that?
Yeah, the company did. They said
How about the customers? Would they have any reason
well,
to know
this
the
union
thing?
The union testified that they hoped the customers would ask about it and say, why are you wearing
that
T-shirt?
Yeah, but as far as what the customer could see, There's nothing on this T-shirt that makes it a labor dispute T-shirt, right?
No, but that doesn't, that's not a...
And nothing, nothing, no union insignia. In fact, the company never tried to ban any union insignias, right?
Pardon me?
The company never tried to ban any union insignias, right?
Well, they banned a couple, but then they gave up on that.
They gave up on that.
But this contains a protest message. I mean, prisoner of AT-Dollars INT is a nonsensical phrase if it's not a protest of treatment by AT&T. And so the company's burden is to show special circumstances. They have to show the special circumstances. And they've offered two explanations for what they did. Mr. O'Brien's talked mainly about people coming to install things in people's homes and tried to distinguish the linemen who were, he says, the ones wearing the rude T-shirts. But a third of the workers punished here were linemen. And the reason the company gave for punishing them, they had Mr. Nasnik testified as to this, was that they were afraid that people would mistake the phrase prisoner of AT-Dollars INT as indicating a chain gang had been employed by AT&T. And that's an utterly unrealistic reason for punishing them. But that's the one the company advanced. And as to the people coming up to the door, again, Mr. Nasnik testified that here was their reason, and he's their spokesman. He's stating their reason, not Mr. O'Brien. And it's not for the court to substitute the court's reason. Here's the company's reason, and I'm quoting, could cause fear and confusion to the customer not knowing who this person is. Installation of repair would not get accomplished because they refused access. That's Mr. Nasnik's testimony as to the reason. A short while later, he also testified that the company's policy is to require people to wear IDs above their waist where the word inmate would be appearing. And it was also his experience that that was sufficient to reassure even the most nervous customer. So you don't have to rely on the board. That's the company's witness put up to explain this, saying that in his view, the ID card in and of itself is sufficient to dispel any fear on the part of the customer. And once that's gone, there's nothing left. I mean, they have to advance a reason. They can't just draw a line arbitrarily. They have to explain why they do. And as to whether they have to put up with this, Judge Santel, absolutely not. They can negotiate a uniform policy. And in fact, they have. And the union did not have anybody who is subject to that policy wear this shirt. The company's free to do that. It hasn't done so. It's made a business judgment that, in its view, it doesn't much matter what people wear out on the street, and it lets them wear most anything. So in those circumstances, I submit the board's decision is perfectly reasonable.
What about the Pathmark and Noah's Bagels case?
Well, all of these cases are extremely ad hoc, I'll give you that. I mean, it's very hard to compare one case to the other. So I think all you can do is take it on its own terms. I mean, the company has advanced its reason here that people will think this person is an inmate and not let them in. The same witness dispelled that concern, and the board accepted that, saying the ID is enough. And then the board went on to note that not only is there an ID, but the technician will have called before he appears. And the notion that a customer is not going to let someone in to repair their phone after they've been waiting, I can say as a customer of AT&T, is almost laughable. I just think they've not advanced any reason at all, and the board's decision is totally reasonable and should be enforced.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cox.
Thank you very much.
You care to be heard on rebuttal?
Thank you, Your Honor. I think the statement that Mr. Hennigy made, that he didn't want to speculate about what the reaction of a customer might be to the shirt, is really a key to looking at the NLRB decision in this matter. The board concludes that there is no likelihood that there will be fear or alarm by employees, by customers, without in any way saying what the basis for that is, without reasoning from any of the facts in the record, and with all due respect, by sheer speculation. So speculation is something that the board engaged in, and I can understand why that's a problem. I think that it's an indication, really, of an arbitrary decision. The other thing the board mentioned before was the creation of the straw man of whether these things looked like real prison uniforms, and somehow building that into the case. The issue of special circumstances and what it takes to establish it is not limited to a situation where the employer requires uniforms or enforces a particular dress code. In fact, in this case, the company did have a dress code, and one of the provisions of it said specifically that people could not wear T-shirts or shirts that had logos or slogans that jeopardized the company's reputation. So that did exist in this case. But the key here is the customer relationship, and there was no dress code in the Pathmark case. There was no dress code in the Bell Atlantic case. There are a number of cases where the issue, it turns out to be, is it reasonably likely that there will be harm to the customer relationship? And if there is, the company has the right to anticipate that. The company has the right to prevent it. It can take preemptive action. The Nordstrom case certainly says that very clearly. In this case, the company had legitimate reason to be concerned that there would be damage to the customer relationship as a result of these shirts. It had its own extensive experience. Mr. Saavedra, who headed the group that went out into the customer homes and into the construction areas and was in the public view, Mr. Saavedra had many years of direct experience in trying to keep the customers from leaving. There had been 2.2 million access lines in Connecticut, and they were down to 1.4 million access lines. They were losing customers because of competition, and they were losing customers because of new technologies, and they
hardwired telephone.
These were only, we're talking landline hardwired phones, which are very reliable because they don't cut out like the cell phones. So we didn't have any problem.
There don't have to be a commercial for them. They're losing business everywhere.
Well, I thought I might counter some of the other statements regarding the company, Your Honor. The point is that it is not the quality of the product, the quality of the service delivered that causes you to lose landline customers, but service and the company's image and the way in which customers react to those people that they encounter. And the people that come to the...
Why don't they have a uniform policy then? That would certainly enhance the image
If Mr. Kappas can prevail upon his client to agree to such a policy for these employees, we'll do it tomorrow, Your Honor. There are negotiations that have not resulted in that result yet. But it's not because the company
Mr.
doesn't
Kappas
want it.
Mr. Kappas litigates for them. They have other lawyers that deal with it.
I was hoping he might have a
he's more reasonable than the ones who deal on the other level.
I met him today. He's a real
we
gentleman.
We see him all the time. He's always reasonable.
I see his name all over the cases, and I've enjoyed this opportunity.
Yeah.
I have no really further comments to make other than this, Your Honor. Member Hayes asked, what would you think about a company that lets somebody go to the front door of a customer wearing this shirt? AT&T Connecticut thought the same thing. It reached the conclusion that the customers thought would be really negative, and it took the action that it was entitled to take because of that special circumstance. Thank you.
Okay, you came within 11 seconds of using all your time there. Good timing. Thank you, counsel. Case is submitted.